Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Sales Leadership Awakening podcast. I'm Colleen Stanley, and joining me today is my favorite co-host, Stephen Rosen. Stephen, good to see you.
Great to be here with you again, Colleen. Today, I get to welcome our wonderful guest, Geralyn Horan. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing your exciting story. Can you just tell our audience a bit about yourself, the industry you're in, the company you work with, and the type of salespeople that you lead into battle?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure. So my role today is Vice President of Group Sales and Strategic Accounts for Hilton. I am a 30-plus year sales leader in the hospitality industry, primarily in the hotel sector. It's funny, I've had people say when I say I'm in hotel sales that they think I sell the building, but actually we sell the bedrooms and the meetings and event spaces in the buildings. There are people that do that individually for their single hotel property. So they're called the on-property sales teams. Then there are above-property sales teams or global sales organizations, which, you know, you're all familiar with, who sell all the hotels in the brand to our B2B customers and B2C in some cases. These teams are usually broken down by segment. So you think about all the reasons why someone would use a hotel. For example, leisure, you're taking a trip to go to Hawaii. Corporate transient, so you're traveling individually for business, for your job, corporate meetings and events, you're attending a meeting that your company's putting on or a conference at a hotel that you work for. There's association business, so think about you a member of a professional or a trade association and they have their annual convention that you're attending. Mm-hmm. There are specialty markets like sports and entertainment, so all the leagues, all those teams, when they travel to the games, they need to stay somewhere. And entertainment is, you know, Beyonce's on tour and she and her dancers need to stay somewhere in the bands and the crew. All of those different types of movements are the customers that our teams are working with and managing those accounts every day. And then even by those segments, we break them down further into the vertical markets, which you're familiar with, obviously things like pharma or in the corporate side, we break it down by vertical, like pharma, professional services, insurance, financial, technology. We have over 100 sales professionals who manage these segments and verticals on my teams. There are more on other teams. I don't have them all. And they really are subject matter experts in their space. And they're the bridge between our hotels and our enterprise customers.
Very interesting. It's quite of a segmented and thought out approach to servicing customer needs.
Yeah.
I don't know why, for some reason, I went to a group of junior high kids, first time in a hotel, having a great time at a band trip. So anyway.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Of course. Well, you think about that. And then all these dance contests, just think about any reason there would be a need for a hotel bed and a space to do something. And social events, of course, are another big area. So yeah, it's a complex field.
So Geralyn, you've been in sales and sales leadership for a long time, 30 years. And one of our signature questions we always like to ask, and it's really what we named the podcast, is for you, what was one of your awakening moments as a sales leader where you went, you know what, I need to change my approach, maybe an aha moment, epiphany. Can you recall any time where you went, I got to do something different?
Well, I'll tell you what I first thought about when you posed that question. I thought about, you know, an awakening moment for me in terms of how I wanted to be a leader. And as I was thinking about when I started out, at that time, there were still some that were of the school of thought of management by intimidation. You remember that it's like, how could I either intimidate you into doing something or in some cases really scare you into performing? And I just remember thinking, this is so demotivating. This does not work for me. And this does not make me want to get up and go run out and call people up to sell hotel beds. And then I had the good fortune of my next boss, who was just the opposite. He was inclusive, he was motivating, he was supportive, he was fun. And I would hang up the phone with him and be like, I got to go sell something. So that had a big impact on me at the time about the kind of leader I wanted to be. Of course, along the way, we tweak and move based on the teams we're working with. And quite frankly, even still, the leaders you're working with and for your own pace of growth, as you see more and understand more about the business, I think good leaders continue to evolve and maybe grow or change their point of view, depending on what's happening.
Is there anything in particular that you say or do to motivate your team? Because you use that word, that early leader, you'd hang up the phone and feel inspired and motivated. Anything, or is it just how you let the conversation flow person by person, salesperson by salesperson?
You know, I think some of it, you really do have to take a page from what they need, right? Because I think every person you're going to deal with is going to need different things, respond differently to different kinds of feedback. But I think that the general piece is just to give them a place of safety to talk about whatever it is they want to talk about. Listen to what they have to say. Be transparent in what you're thinking and your communication with them. And hopefully provide some guidance or direction. I think the best way is not to always just be giving the answer or whatever, but just asking the questions to help people get to that place on their own and guiding the conversation and making them feel hopefully good about that engagement. Like, yeah, I do know this. I do have this and I can do this. And just to be excited about the purpose that we're all here and why we're here doing what we do.
I think that's phenomenal coaching, right? Because many leaders will jump into feedback before they ask the individual what they think. And it disempowers them because your feedback is certainly a gift, but them understanding and self-evaluating, I think, is a great way to learn. We have a session coming up where we talk about feedback, about having difficult conversations. Many sales leaders, I think it's well over 50% of folks, will go out of their way to avoid having difficult conversations. Maybe you can share, because you've learned from your good bosses and from your bad bosses what not to do. What have you done to specifically create the right culture that's open to feedback, that people will embrace it as opposed to be afraid of it?
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing is you have to create an environment where people feel safe. I mean, they feel like I can receive this feedback and it doesn't mean I'm in trouble or my job's at risk. We have several very robust programs in place to evaluate team members' performance and their gaps. Because listen, we all have them. Everybody has gaps. And how can we get better if we don't get feedback? No one gets it right all the time. We all have the opportunity to grow. And if I know something about a team member that needs improvement or they could do better and at some point keep them from growing or progressing in their career, I'm negligent as a leader if I don't share that with them. I think it's about how do you talk about it, but then how do you come to it without criticism, but with like, here's our opportunity, you know, to make sure that you're ready for that next role when you have the opportunity, because we're going to fill in those gaps before you get to someplace that maybe you're not ready for. Again, having to look at it like an opportunity to perform and to do better and to contribute to the greater goal of what we're all trying to do, as opposed to you're doing something wrong or not well. That can be through the one-on-one coaching, which we do every week with our team members. Sometimes it's saying, here's a gap that we have a learning and development tool or product that you could avail yourself of that will help you to fill that gap. Could be outside training, could be outside coaching. And we kind of wrap this all also in their CDP, their career development plan. So each one of the team members has a career development plan, and it does include like, here's the things you're doing great, and here's the places that we have opportunity. So how are we going to fill those so that you're all you can be?
You know what? It sounds like incredibly well-structured and built around an IDP or a coaching plan. For folks who have trouble, who avoid giving feedback, any tips you can provide just how to open the conversation? I know I've taught some tricks to folks, but I'd love to get your perspective, because the hardest part is just opening up the conversation, opening up the individual to accept the feedback. Any tricks, tips, gems that you use to do that?
Yeah, I don't know if they're gems, but I just went through the process of my leadership team's annual reviews. We finished not too long ago. And a couple of things that I do in the beginning, I let them know, okay, we're going to go through your review, because they self-assess and then I give my feedback. And then I want you to give me my review. I want to know from you, what can I do better? How can I better support or serve you? Sort of on an even playing field there. And then also to start out with, tell me how you feel about how the year went or your performance. And it's funny, several of the reviews I did that people self-assessed, I upped their mark. Because I don't agree with that, actually. You're better than that. You think those are a couple of things. And as a company, we do these coaching calls for all of our leaders on a monthly basis. In fact, there was one today. And in one of them we recently did, and we tend to do this towards the end of the year, is we will do one coaching through giving feedback. It's where two leaders actually scrimmage what a review would look like to someone that you have to provide what might be seen as difficult feedback. And how do you do that in a caring, conscious way that the team member will hear it and you can move through it?
It's a great way to do it.
You definitely have a coaching culture. And there's a couple of words I've picked up. You've used twice: the safety, make it safe. And then also you just used the word scrimmage. I know Stephen and I, when we met with you the first time, I love that word because the psychology world, they call it reframing. Because how many of us sales leaders, when we use the word role play, they've all heard perfect practice makes perfect, and yet we're not doing it. So can you talk a little bit about the scrimmaging and what that looks like? But I love the word and the reaction and response you've gotten from your teams on it.
It's been really great. It's been really, really great. It's funny how just repurposing a word somehow just changes that. Because I remember we first started talking about it, I was like, isn't this role-playing? But somehow it just felt really different. One of the ways it was teed up, and our global head of sales, Frank Castanante, I think you know, sort of brought this coaching culture into our organization before I got here, and I've been here since 2018. I think that the notion was you wouldn't go out on a field for any game or tournament or anything without scrimmaging. Why would you walk into what could be $1 million, $10 million meeting without scrimmaging? I know some people in consulting and they talk about you should have as many hours or more rehearsing and scrimmaging a meeting before you go into it. So the notion is right. When you put it that way, it's like, yeah, why would I do that? You know, and then creating a safe space again to say, all right, we're going to go through this. It somehow just feels different. We started out with the leadership team doing this and then we would coach each other on that scrimmage and we'd be like, well, had you thought about this? Like yes. The team getting together in the locker room at the end. That was a great pass, but you really could have X. You want your team member to do well. And it also creates a real support and connectivity with the team. We started working with our teams. I have a one-on-one coaching call with every one of my leaders every week.
Repeat that for everyone listening. Listening, please hear this out from a very, very busy person.
Yeah, I have a one-on-one coaching call with each of my leaders every week. Then my one skip leaders, I have a monthly, I think it's monthly now. And then for my two skip leaders, I have a quarterly. So we still at least get to connect and have a coaching call. But then those leaders have a one-on-one with each of their direct reports every week. So this happens. It's a real commitment.
Well, it's also a real connection to the company because I was speaking to a leader who was leaving his organization and some of it was lack of connection to their boss.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's wonderful things that can be accomplished, but just the connection factor of meeting on a regular basis, of caring about them, of them having input or you having input to your boss is a very powerful way to lead people. If there isn't a connection, then people just don't feel attached to the organization.
That's right. I think it's also a way to make sure that we're all singing from the same prayer book. Because there's always some sort of messaging. Like this past week, it came out that we bought graduate hotels. It's a great way to then be able to talk about whatever's topical in the moment that we want to make sure that we're getting out to our teams. You can send emails, et cetera, but there's something about on a call and the nuances and people can ask questions. We can make sure that we're aligned.
There's a really interesting stat, and I wrote it down for both of you. So I'm going to look over here. It comes from the book Tomorrow Mind. So it was authored by Dr. Martin Seligman and Kellerman. In 2018, they did a research study and it was on meaningful work because everybody wants to matter. But what was interesting is exactly, Geraldine, what you guys are doing is meaningful work to do it or feel like you have meaningful work. It's your social support in the workplace. Hmm. If you have that, it actually increases resiliency besides a whole bunch of things, but resiliency by 23%. There's all of these, like Stephen, you're saying the connection factor and all of this, but retention, longevity, it's really tremendous that you guys have the commitment and the discipline to run these coaching sessions.
And then it's all in line to support our purpose, which is what we continue to always talk about. That was laid out many years ago by Conrad Hilton, that our purpose is to spread the light and warmth of hospitality. I believe that. And we talk a lot about customer impact. Like each of our large team calls starts with the customer impact story. How did somebody do that? Bring this really to light? And what was the impact on the customer? So you really feel connected to the work you do and the impact that we're having. It's very meaningful.
That's fantastic. Now, our audience and listening to all this, they must think, wow, what a great place to work, right? You're doing a really good job selling the company, but proof is in the pudding, right? As they say, and I'm happy to share this, and I know you will, but Hilton was right. Number one, great place to work in the world. That's pretty phenomenal. Maybe you want to share a little bit about that. And then I'd love to ask you a few other questions about what you're doing specifically around that.
Yeah. All right. Well, how long do you have? I could talk about that all day.
Okay. Well, that's something to be proud of. So I always think if we're talking about wonderful things, we have time. We have plenty of time. So why do you think you are ranked number one?
Yeah. So it's Fortune and Great Place to Work have their annual rankings. We have had the good fortune to be number one in the U.S. before and high ranking and number one in various countries around the world. But we have not had total world domination until this year. The thing that really struck me about it is a lot of the companies that are on there are more professional services type of companies or tech companies or whatever with smaller number of employees and probably more similar professional type level employees. We're 450,000 employees across the world, people from all sorts of levels, job scope. And so to get that award with that being the comparison, for me, it was just even more meaningful. Knowing the work that our people do in our hotels every day to serve our guests is really something. But really starts with our CEO has just created an amazing culture at Hilton. And again, we're all very clear about our purpose and why we're here and what we're doing. But I think there's so many great things that we are privy to. So we talk about leadership that is, I think, some of the most committed leadership that I've seen and really invested in team members and their growth and their success and their happiness. We take things like our global team member survey very seriously every year and look at the things that people are the common themes that are not working for people and work really hard to do what we can to improve them. I think being able to give people the opportunity to grow in their roles, even if it's not like the next role yet or the next promotion, but giving them stretch assignments. So they're continuing to learn like this ever-growing learning mindset, whether it's a stretch assignment or a cross-functional team project that I'm able to get involved with. We have mentoring programs. We have all kinds of recognition that we do from just on our team calls to annual recognition. We have got lots of ways to also let people try to understand other parts of the business because one of the things we talk about our teams with is Hilton's a big company and we're Hilton Worldwide Sales, but just because you're there now doesn't mean you might not want to go to brands or you might want to go to finance or some other part of the business. We have ways that people can learn about other parts of the business that they might not know as well. So they feel like they're part of something larger with lots of opportunity. I think that's just always really important to people that they feel like they have opportunity and there's opportunity for growth.
That's amazing. And being able to scale that, I believe you said it was 450,000 employees. Scaling that culture, it takes certainly a lot of work and some great leadership. So from an impact perspective, I'm sure you track various components. I don't know if there's one that's more important than the other, but all the wonderful things you do, are you able to relate it back to retention or employee engagement? I'm sure you must survey for that.
We do a global team member survey every year. Our engagement score, which is the one that we look at first, is, I don't want to give away any of our secrets, but it's very high. Very proud of that. We really do take it very seriously. And there are always areas where we're not as good as we want to be. We have very robust plans to, whenever that area is, to try to do what we can to fix it. As far as retention, I have the longest tenured team, I think, in the world ever. We just had two retirements on one team last year. It was like, oh my gosh, like people were jumping all over these jobs because people just don't leave. Honestly, it's a good, and that's a good thing.
It's the opposite of what you hear out there. Isn't that fascinating?
Especially in some industries where people stay 2 years and they're a veteran after 2 years and then go hop on to the next.
Never. My problem is more, how do I continue to keep people motivated and engaged who want to grow, trying to create opportunities internally with things we can do? And again, you know, giving them these stretch opportunities and things like that, because these are great team members and looking for across the aisle roles in other places that we don't want to lose, but they're coveted roles. When people get in and they're doing good work, they want to stay.
I'm sure a lot of listeners are wondering, how can they apply for a job at Hilton?
Kidding aside, that's another thing I think we do a good job on, really being sure that we've got a good bench. So, you know, the leaders on my team all know for every person on their team, they've got ideas of who, if they decided to leave us tomorrow, what do we do so we don't miss that gap? And whether it's people within our organization or it's people in our hotels or it's people, don't listen, competitors, but in other brands that we admire, that we get to know, that is a critical piece to make sure because we want the best person in every seat. And so that takes work.
That's an incredible cultural playbook, if I can use that term. I don't know if there's anything that you don't have to make the culture and the organization a great place to work. So I'm going to ask you, Colleen, and maybe we've chose the same one, but what we try to do is pick what we really feel is the thing that we walked away with and we learned from each of our guests. Colleen, is there one area that you feel very strongly about?
Well, you know what I'm hearing? There's so many great things, Geraldine. So thank you for that. One of the things that just keeps popping out is you can't replace the people connection. And I think there's wonderful tech tools, but you've got to be careful to remember that efficiency doesn't mean effectiveness. And so you think about everything that we've heard from Geralyn, the one-on-one meetings, just not only with their team, but I think it's fascinating that the leaders also get together and coach one another. Because I know I've had to work with some sales leaders, and Geralyn, they're not with companies that have as sophisticated as learning and development program, but it didn't even occur to them that they should role play a difficult conversation or just role play a coaching conversation with each other. To me, it's just the people and the belief that taking the time makes difference. I got to tell you, when you're number one in the world, I hope everybody listening today walks away with, it's worth it.
So that's a great takeaway.
Covered a lot of bases there. For me, you mentioned it, and I really love the idea of moving from the term role-playing. And it's not so much the term, but scrimmaging. It behooves me how many companies, when they're going in for a big deal, don't spend the time to review what's your objective, how are you going to approach this, where's the customer at, and really taking the time before you get on the game, on the field, that you've worked through all your potential issues. So certainly it's great as leaders scrimmaging with each other for difficult conversations, but as sales leaders, scrimmaging on how are you going to present, and then even coming back and looking at how do we perform today in terms of a feedback mechanism, I think is what great companies do.
To me, that's like, it should be 101. I've been in meetings over the years with people I worked with, and you think, we got our shot. We're in here.
Yeah.
It's our chance to do it. And then you watch what happens in front of you. You're like, oh my gosh, did we scrimmage enough? I'll tell you just one last anecdote. I was recently out west with some team members. There's the woman who was leading the account and two other people, and four of us were going in to see a very large enterprise account of ours. And we sat down, and this team member, she's great. She sits the four of us down and she says, okay, I want to know what your agenda is today. What do you want to get out of this meeting today? The other people came from different parts of the business, and she laid out what she wanted, but she wanted to know what they wanted to know, how they were going to do it. Like, we basically had a scrimmage over coffee before we went into this meeting. And I thought, that's a really great thing. You know, what's your objective? Not just what are you going to say? Why are we here? But she wanted to know everybody's objective and what we were going to get out of this and how we were going to move forward.
Part of what we do, and a lot of people tell me this, it's not rocket science.
Right.
But doing the basics incredibly well separates, I think, the average organization from the great organizations. So on behalf of Colleen and myself, Geralyn, I want to thank you for sharing what a great job and what a great employer Hilton is and what you do with your team to make them great. To our audience, thanks for joining us today. I hope you garnished at least one great takeaway, and I know I've got many. It's been great. Thank you, and look forward to hearing more about what you're doing at Hilton.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure.